Great to look at God's perfect Ten Commandments as He gives them to His people. And this commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Reminding us of God's priority on marriage, God's priority on relationships, and the gift He gives us in those, not institutions, but rather things that reflect really His life and His commitment to us. And so as we look at the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Just a reminder, the commandments are not a ladder that we try to climb up and reach heaven or be at peace with God after we, you know, hit every rung just the right way. But rather, they're a mirror which we look into and we say, oh, I need God in this area of my life. Here's sin in my life when I hear the command, you shall not commit adultery. Also, when we look at that commandment, we see God's honor and glory and even our need for mercy. So it points us to the gospel. If God only had one commandment to give us, you shall not commit adultery, all of us would be under conviction to know we need Christ. Because in terms of faithfulness in this area of our life, we've fallen short. Okay, we've fallen short as individuals and collectively. Christian people and lost people together in regards to this. So it's a commandment that can change lives, bring health and joy back to anybody's heart and relationship. And there's really two aspects to the commandment, you shall not commit adultery. It's the physical aspect of our relationship with one another, marriage and so on. And it's also God's relationship with us. He looks at that as a marriage. In fact, God lets us know in the Bible, He creates marriage to honor Himself. And the Bible began with a marriage, Adam and Eve, and it ends with a marriage, Jesus and His people. So that's something to kind of rejoice in. I remember when I was a single adult on into my 30s and so on, I thought, I don't know nothing about marriage and weddings and so on. But there was always, oh, there's going to be a wedding in the future. God to His people. So wedding day is coming for you. If you're single or a widow, you know, it's a rejoicing with the Lord and His faithfulness. So the Lord values marriage very, very much. He says that a husband and wife are one. Okay? It's like not just one plus one equals two, but one plus one equals one. And Paul said, that's a tremendous mystery, and it's like Jesus and His people. I take it to mean Christ and the church. So no matter what the world says about marriage, no matter what the church says about marriage, God values marriage very, very much. And He sees it as a gift. Okay, and this is something the world and the church, we kind of have one foot in the truth, one foot outside the truth. Because the breaking of this commandment is prevalent, sadly, among God's people. In a public manner, it's prevalent also in our relationship with God. We'll deal with that in a minute. But even the world, you know, the world looks at this commandment and kind of scoffs. If you look at Hollywood, they treat adultery as something that's kind of giggly. You know, you can like giggle about it. Or something that's to be, oh, it's very romantic. You know, it could be a romantic thing. Nothing romantic about this. Pain and more pain in regards to adultery. And even the world, you know, the hardest of the world. If you're in a public position and you're known as a person who practices adultery, even an atheist or an agnostic would be like, ugh, that's not good. This is bad. This is going to be very, very hurtful. So God speaks to our conscience directly about the sacredness of relationships, and He does so through His Word. So it points us to our dear Lord Jesus and honors God in relationships. God creates sex, the gift of sex that He gives to us for closeness, heart-to-heart, commitment, expressions of love, and as God provides you know, little ones and so forth. And that's under God's providence. So God creates that as a gift. And even as a pastor, you know, working with couples who are going to get married, even though I'm married well into the 30th year of marriage and so forth plus. But even when I talk with couples about physical closeness in marriage, I still turn red. Okay, why do I do that? You know, that's because it's special, right? It's a special thing. It's sacred. And it's an expression of love to the person, okay? We just don't ramp through it like, you know, the world does. Oh, this is this and this is that. But God creating that belongs to the Lord. So rejoice. And I remember years ago when I was a little more, believe it or not, off the cuff and bold, I said, which is true, Josh McDowell did surveys. He was a Christian apologist on Christian married couples versus couples who are not Christian. And he said the level of satisfaction in terms of physical intimacy is much higher in the Christian camp, Christian marriages. Would somebody like to give testimony to that today? No, that's good, that's good. Spare us the details, that's good. Okay, but God gives the gift, okay? The elders are shaking their heads. Sorry. God gives the gifts of relationship and the gift of togetherness. And the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, honors, highlights the faithfulness of God, because He brings faithfulness as a standard to us. And He says again, how you treat your loved one, spouse, and how you treat people even before marriage is to be faithful. That girlfriend doesn't belong to you till you say, you know, before God and these witnesses, I take you to be my wife. She don't belong to you. And so you treat her with faithfulness. Treat him with faithfulness. And God says, in terms of our relationship with him, don't cheat on me. When somebody cheats on somebody, we would say that's adultery. Somebody says, can you define adultery? James Dobson asked a little child once. He said, that's when people pretend to be adults and they're really not. Pretty close to the truth. Adultery. They pretend to be adults, but they're really not. Because the heart before God is not there yet. And so, you know, to put it before God and say, thank you, dear Lord, for the gift of relationships. Might this honor you? When we go against God, we cheat against him. We commit adultery against him in relationship. And he said, this is as painful for him as it would if your spouse, you know, just took off on you for several weeks. Or how about just for a few days? Or how about for whenever? How do you think you would feel? You would be devastated. You couldn't sleep. You would even cry. And all those things. And when we cheat on God and put something before him and say we are most loyal to whatever versus the Lord God Almighty, our Father in heaven, then it's a devastating problem. Devastating problem. Great pain. And so the Lord's mercy is there for us in our own spiritual adultery against God or adultery toward other people that God has put into our lives. And so in the Bible, we see problems of the sin of adultery. God could bring redemption back no matter how far down the road you've gone. And, you know, Steve Arterburn and people like that talk about the mentality of faithfulness. And he says, well, he writes one book, Every Man's Battle. Okay. So all the guys have to practice faithfulness. And then he writes another book, Every Woman's Battle. You know, you guys too. You have to practice faithfulness. Okay, and sadly, the gals are catching up. I just want to give you encouragement from the Lord, gals, that used to be, I remember as a young pastor, when marriages would go wrong, it was the guy who was not faithful. He messed up, like, chronically. But nowadays, it's the gal who's the first one out the door. That's not good. I don't know why that is. But gals, you know, you, the guys didn't gain anything from their sin. So, gals, you won't gain nothing from that sin. It'll be heartache for yourself, for other people. Early in God's relationship with people, people went in that direction. Abraham and Sarah invited Hagar into their family because they were all flustered about whether God's promise was going to happen or not. So they created problems for themselves, for Hagar, for Ishmael, for Isaac. A lot of pain involved there. Abraham also went out of bounds in talking to a Pharaoh, I think it was, and he says, "Hey, this is my sister Sarah, you know. We don't want no trouble." And so he was basically willing to create, again, unfaithfulness for the sake of his own fear in his life. Rahab, chronic unfaithfulness in her life. Ironically, she makes the genealogy of Jesus. So your life could be really, really messed up in regards to this commandment. You know, like you can't even count how many times you committed adultery, either, you know, literally or against God or whatever. When God said, "I need somebody to deliver some word here that's going to protect people," he relied on this gal, Rahab. So the worst sinner you could think of in terms of the committing of adultery, God can take that person where they're at and say, "Now, here's a new way." Rahab got saved. Good heavens. You know, from the judgment of God by passing on what God told her to do. So there's good news. You know, if you're kind of if this is a commandment you have went against God a lot about, he can make it right. King David, great grief to him, to Bathsheba, and then loss in the family. Solomon, way too many relationships that he thought would help him in political alliances and so on. Not so. The Samaritan woman evangelist of John chapter 4, good example of somebody who is all mixed up. Five husbands plus another guy. Okay, and Jesus says, "I'll give you water that's really what you're looking for your soul." And she has one conversation with Jesus, and she goes and she trusts Christ, goes and tells the whole town, "Hey, come and meet this Savior." What a wonderful Lord we have, again, to take somebody quite rebellious, that's an understatement, quite broken, and to say, "Now you're going to pass on good news." And what a great thing. So hope for your heart. If adultery is like, "Oh, that's, I can't, you know, possibly live up to that." Mary Magdalene, same issue. Jesus let her see him first after he rose from the dead. Church at Corinth, it was just like you know, here's kind of Norwin Alliance, we're the church at Corinth. Things happen, this is not literally, hopefully. You know, people say, "That's your Norwin Alliance, there's things happen in that church that even the world gets turned off by." There are fellowships like that. You know. And what do? God says, "Hey, come back to me." Paul deals with that. He says, you belong to God. Don't just do whatever you want to do in relationships. The look of lust, the mentality of unfaithfulness. The better terminology is the look of love, which was a song by Sergio Mendes, Brazil 66, way back for anybody who appreciated that. But that song was the faithful love of a husband and a wife. The look of lust is the unfaithful selfishness. That's, you know, a multi, I don't know if it's a billion-dollar industry or not. Since you can't be close to another human being in the right way, here, I send you my picture, you know. This is hurtful. This is It's a crusher of life, the way the Lord meant it to be. And so, how does the Lord deal with these things? First of all, He lets us know adultery is a symptom of an empty soul. It can help you if you have chronic problems in this. Like if you're a chronic gossiper, empty soul. Chronic adultery, empty soul. You don't know God loves you. You're not loving other people. So you're messing up. We were taught as young Christians, why don't you hang around with a lot of other Christians? Because if you do, you're going to be a lot better off in relationships. That was good advice. And it goes to show you how important church life is. See how many teenagers we have in here today? How many? One, two, three, four. Okay. Those four, five maybe. Those four or five are growing strong in relationship to people by being around a bunch of other Christian adults. That's going to help them moving into relationships. Because it's really hard to walk with God if you're not protected. And if you don't see models, oh, here's a nice Christian couple. Here's a good Christian gal. Here's a good Christian guy. I hope I marry somebody like Mrs. McGillicuddy someday, you know, or Mr. McGillicuddy. That kind of thing happens when God's church gathers. That's why, hopefully, at the youth, you know, they say, guess what? Going to church is something you do as a teenager. That's what it is. See? Because if you don't, you're going to sin up a storm in a lot of areas. Most likely in the area of relationships. So, symptom of an empty soul, God offers protection and good news. Without that love, lust will happen. Adultery is against God and against the person. And, of course, it's devastating. A lot of pain. So when you see people, I remember as a young single guy, when you see people go through that, they need prayer. They need support. Or even, you know, hey, God can make it right. And if it's too late to make it right, God can give you a new life. And no person who ever stood before God realizing cheating on another person or cheating on God without being very repentant as much as possible could be. And I could get up this morning, I use the example and say, I lied, I want to tell the congregation I lied last week, and et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it would be bad, and you'd say, you know, he needs help in prayer and so forth. But if I coveted it or whatever, but I come out and I say, I just committed adultery, you know, an hour ago, and I mean, I couldn't say it that way. You would be crying your heart out, or you'd be saying, get out. Why can you even, you can't worship God like that, in that condition? There would have to be some kind of brokenness or repentance. That's what happens with every soul. And again, the Lord in His Word, we're going to see, relates it between Him and us, not just, was I faithful to my wife, but was I faithful to the Lord? Being He was faithful to me. Did I cheat on Him? Hurts as much as, did I cheat on my wife? Christians would fear God like that and say, this is a holy relationship. Don't cheat on God. This is part of what the commandment teaches. So here's the illustration of that the Lord gives. And it's between Hosea the prophet, Gomer his wife. God says, go take Gomer. She's going to go against a marriage relationship and she's going to fall in that many, many times. And yet God is saying to his people who take the place of Gomer, God's people go away from God just like Gomer went away from Hosea. He says, I'm going to betroth you to me forever. God wants the long-term relationship with the folks. And in love and compassion, I will betroth you in faithfulness and you will know the Lord. Boy, what good news. If you're heartbroken about adultery in some manner, this is probably the first word God's going to give you. Hey, I'm going to marry you. I'm going to teach you how to do relationships the faithful way. And you and I have seen it. I mean, it's amazing. There are pastors in the Alliance who went through all this, and they're pastoring. They're working at the district level. Who knows wherever else they're working? It's just like God can restore. He can make it right. God tells Hosea, love Gomer as the Lord loves the Israelites, even though they turned to other gods. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ did die for us. When we were a slave to sin, He gave His life for us. God saying to Hosea and Gomer, turn to God. It's time to seek the Lord. This is a commandment that can bring revival to your soul. Not just because you're cheating on your spouse, hopefully you're not, but because you're cheating on the Lord. That's the point of Hosea and Gomer. It's not just a marriage lesson. Now it's time to seek the Lord. And God graciously says, I will heal their backsliding and love them freely. It's almost like in this heart-to-heart sin against God or other people, we can't even heal ourselves. It's like you're just a chronic, unfaithful person. And God says, I'm going to heal your backsliding and love you freely. Freely means, and Gomer wasn't looking for it. She wasn't seeking after it. And Hosea said, come on, I love you. Are we seeking it? Are we looking after God? Even when we're not, He says, I'm offering myself to you. And He draws us back to Himself. It's a teary-eyed reunion when Hosea and Gomer get back together. And it's a really happy, teary-eyed reunion when God's people get back to the Lord. Oh, He's a faithful husband. Yeah, I'll be at that wedding that He's setting up. What can we do? We say we're broken before God about our sin. Lord, thank you. We bow to the mercy of God. We know that in a situation of direct adultery, Jesus' first move in the Bible was to what? Was to not condemn. Good call for the church. You're grown up, you raise your son or daughter a certain way, and all of a sudden they're going, where are you going? I know. What's the first response? Nope. Jesus did not condemn. So she hears this. And then she hears, go and sin no more. So there's good news to share to broken hearts. And there's repentance follows. And to know the new life that you and I can have, Jesus in us is faithful. Walk in love and faithfulness. And there's all kind of parameters, people suggest to put on marital faithfulness. Anti-adultery boundaries, which is really good. Billy Graham used to have a bunch, he don't go out for lunch with, all the sopranos in the choir. He doesn't, he don't just like email them back and forth all the time. Hey, nice hairdo last week or what. All that stuff that's a step in the wrong direction. God's word says you treat all the Christian gals like a sister, a little sister. you annoy me, No, not that. You treat the Christian women with respect, right? And our church is very, very blessed to have many, many strong Christian ladies, which we're very thankful for. They do not annoy us. And so to know Jesus in you can walk faithfully. And the good news is, no matter what your past, or you have a tendency, this commandment's too hard, and the world, they just keep telling me what to do. You can walk. You can start the starting line again. With Jesus, I'm faithful to my loved ones, to my spouse, to my family, and by the grace of God, abiding in Him. He teaches us how to be faithful. What a merciful God. That God, could take a bunch of human beings like us And without these kind of commandments, we'd just be like a pack of, you know, hyenas running around being vicious. That God would take a bunch of souls like us and make sons and daughters of His. And there's many relationships, just look around you. There's, oh, there's a relationship. That's good. You know. It even gets romantic. Pray for people in Christian leadership, because sadly, because this is a problem, people in Christian leadership, that we, and I include myself, we don't preach a lot about marriage, preach a lot about, you know, how important husbands and wives are and modeling that, because we're too busy about prayer and, you know, gifts of the Spirit and, hey, let me explain to you this, that, and the other. Hey. You got relationship. That's important. Make that big. God made it big. Make it big because He thinks it's important and He loves us very much. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, thank You for this gift of Your Word, Your commandments. They help us. They do point us to Jesus who could set us free. And Lord, just like any other commandment regarding Sabbath or honoring parents, we could hang this one in every room of the house. And unless You change our heart, we're going to be in great need of forgiveness, repentance, and mercy. So might it be so for each one of us. Just a quiet time of repentance for us as Your people. First in regards to faithfulness in marriage and all those relationships for the future, for the young ones. Hear silent prayers about that gift and our gladness to walk in it by the faithfulness of Jesus. And then, Lord, and with the adultery against You, that we thought other lovers were better than the Lord. As an old-timer said, how foolish. And the time we broke Your heart, we broke our own heart. And we were as messed up as Rahab. But just give us that forgiveness. Thank You. You'd come even to some such as us and say, and neither do I condemn You. So with Jesus in us, we go and by Your grace, sin no more as a style of life.